Thank you for coming out this evening. Looking forward to a good evening together. You'll be receiving two handouts that we'll be referring to in this session. So we'd like to encourage you just to lay those back. We'll be following the one with 12 different numbers on it as you receive it. This morning we talked about the different types of issues people experience in life, the different kinds of problems people have. And we talked about two kinds of problems. Some people are damaged because of what other people did to them. Other people are damaged because they didn't receive what they should have received. And tonight we're going to be dealing with both of those issues to help us understand how is a person emotionally damaged in their heart. I'd like to begin by looking at Psalms 147, verse 3. Where David in the Old Testament says that God heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. God desires to minister to the needs that we have in our heart, to care about those issues. But what I found is most believers don't know how to pray to actually resolve the pain inside their heart. They don't know how to take that pain to Jesus to heal those issues within the heart. And this evening, I would like to identify 5 out of 12 pain issues that are in the workbook, Caring for the Emotionally Damaged Heart. And in this book are prayers that a person can pray to actually resolve the pain that you have in your heart from specific issues of damage from your past. I like what David says in the Old Testament. He shares the pain that he experienced in his own personal life when he says, "My heart is in anguish within me." David experienced specific kinds of emotional pain, and those pain issues affected David. And you read in the Psalms the pain he goes through. And if you were to define the pain in your heart, how would you describe it? Secondly, David gives in Psalms 102 a word picture of his heart. He says, "My heart has been smitten like grass and has withered away." I understand Texas had a drought this year. We in Colorado had the same thing. No rain for months. Everything dries up. Trees die because of a drought. David says, "My heart has been smitten like grass and has withered away." That's a picture of his heart. I'd like to ask you a question tonight. What is the picture of your heart? If you were to draw me a picture of your heart, what would you describe? I've often asked that question and I get differing answers. Some people say, "My heart has been shattered because of the events of my life." And it's like a piece of glass in a million pieces. And I don't know how to put it back together. Some people say, "My heart is so black because of all my sin. I don't know how a God could ever forgive me." Other people say, "My heart has been crushed, like run over with an 18-wheeler because of the pain I've experienced." Other people say, "My heart is empty. No one has ever cared about me. I've never felt loved." Other individuals will say, "My heart is sad because of what I've experienced." David says, "My heart has been smitten like grass and has withered away." Psalms 109, verse 22 says, "For I am afflicted and needy, and my heart is wounded within me." These 3 verses describe David's emotional pain in his heart and what he experienced and what he desired God to do in his life. I love Luke chapter 4, verse 18, where the Bible says Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to proclaim liberty to the captives, to bring sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those that were oppressed. It's interesting, if you define what our responsibility as believers is, it follows the same list. You and I are to evangelize the lost, the people who have never come to Christ. That's preaching the gospel to the poor. You and I are to heal the brokenhearted. Those are the emotional issues of damage people experience, and we're going to talk about that tonight. God wants us to heal those individuals by leading them to Jesus to get peace in their heart with the emotional pain they've experienced. The neglected, the abandoned, the not loved, the rejected. God wants us to bring those individuals to Him for healing in their hearts. And this evening we're going to share prayers that you can use to actually accomplish that. And then to proclaim liberty to the captives. Those are the individuals who are bound to spiritual issues like pride, bitterness, rebellion, hypocrisy, moral failure. God desires for us to lead them to freedom through repentance of their sin. To bring sight to the blind, to pray for those that are sick, to set at liberty those that are oppressed. Those are the individuals who have been abused in their life. Those individuals with emotional, sexual, and spiritual abuse where they've been damaged in their heart. Do you realize every issue that people have, Jesus desires to heal? It's amazing. Every person needs a relationship with God who created them. Every person needs peace in their heart with the pain they've experienced or the abuse they've experienced. Every person needs freedom from the spiritual issues that have damaged their heart. This evening we'd like to identify the issues within a person's heart that need to be resolved. And we're going to be focusing tonight on emotional issues. And if you take the sheet that you received, over the last 8 years, I've made a list of all the emotional pain issues people have brought into my life. Now, this is not an all-inclusive list, but it's a list of a lot of different pain issues people experience. We're going to talk about other issues after the break tonight. We're going to talk about spiritual issues that damage a person. But in this first section, we're going to talk about five of these 12 emotional pain issues and how they affect a person and how they damage. Later we're going to talk, if you'll look at the chart on the back of me, we're going to talk about spiritual issues on the right-hand side. We're going to talk about the abuse issues later. Tomorrow night we'll talk about pressure patterns that people get damaged by. And what we want to do this week is help you understand what are the basic problem issues people need to resolve and how can we resolve those issues in our lives and their lives. The question is, how do people get damaged? How is a person damaged? And how does it affect how they respond in relationship? Now, I was a pastor for 23 years, and I had the opportunity of sharing the word 3 times a week at the church I pastored. And I also had the opportunity of sitting in my office with hundreds of people, couples, and they were struggling. And many times what I found was they were struggling with issues that came from their childhood that they didn't know how to resolve. Their father was angry as a child, and they emotionally lock up every time someone's angry with them. Or their father was angry and they're angry. And they're turning that anger to their family, and they don't want to do that, but they don't know how to stop it. Or a person was raised in a home where there's so much pain, they experienced depression, and now they're depressed as an adult, struggling with these issues inside, not knowing how to resolve those issues. It's these issues that we need to understand. As I work with people in my office, often people come in with surface problems like anger, depression, lust, different issues like that. But the core issue is not anger. Anger is not the core problem. There's always a spiritual problem underneath that, or emotional problem that causes them to be angry. And you have to identify what is that issue. If a person's depressed, we want to ask, why are they depressed? There's always a reason. And when you identify what that reason is and help them understand that reason, you can actually help them resolve the issue of depression in their life. When we talk about emotional damage, how does emotional damage affect a person? First of all, when a person is damaged, it affects how they view themselves. If a person says, I'm just a worthless person, I'm insignificant, nobody loves me, nobody cares about me, their statement identifies how they view themselves, but it also tells me something is wrong. Because a person who says, I am worthless, has never been valued by his parents, by his family, by his spouse, and as a result, they view themselves in a negative way. If a person says, nobody loves me, it tells me someone didn't care about that person. So the negative thoughts people define about themselves really are statements about their pain, but they lead me to understand what's happening inside that person's heart. Secondly, it affects how we respond to others. When I deal with a marriage relationship, I often hear a husband say, my wife's always critical of me. She wants everything perfect, and I can't do it good enough for her. What's the problem? You have an individual who's trying to meet another person's expectation and can't, and is turning that anger in on themselves as a result of that. Or a person is reacting emotionally inside and they put up a wall, a barrier. I often like to ask couples a question. How far away is your heart from your spouse's heart? Last week, a wife says, my heart is 2,000 miles away from my husband. So I ask the question, why is your heart 2,000 miles away from your husband? She says, my daddy never loved me. He left me when I was a little girl, and he was always busy when he was home. And my mom was depressed because of her pain. And my husband's emotionally detached, and he's never connected with me in the 15 years we've been married. I said, where's your heart? She says, I've hidden it. And no one's ever found it. A picture of the fact that she could never respond to other people. I asked her husband, where's your heart? He was raised on a farm in Nebraska. And he says, I left it in a field the day my dad sold our place. I wanted a farm, and my dad all of a sudden one day sold a farm. And all the things I enjoyed in my life all of a sudden stopped when I was 15. And I just blocked everything out, and no one ever found my heart. It's interesting, when you go to look for where people's hearts are, how they've been emotionally damaged, you're going to find that people are locked up because something has happened to their heart to damage them. Thirdly, it affects how we treat others. It's amazing how many husbands are angry, how many wives are critical, how many wives cry inside every day. Why? Because of pain inside their heart, and they can't respond emotionally because of that pain. We mentioned this morning something that's very important is focusing on a person's heart to find out what is really happening inside of a person's heart. I like to face a husband to the wife, and I have the husband ask the wife questions. Do you ever cry? It's amazing how many husbands or wives cry all the time. One husband says, I've cried ever since I was a little boy and I've never stopped crying. No one ever asked him that question until I did. Many wives cry while their husbands are away because emotionally inside they have pain or issues unresolved of pain in their life, and as a result they hold those things inside. Fifth, it affects how we view God. Often I ask a person what their view of God is. And often the reply is, God doesn't care about me, or God doesn't understand, or God didn't answer my prayer. and they put up a wall to God and they can't pray, or they're angry with God, or they're bitter toward God, and I have the privilege of helping them understand and resolve those issues so that they can be free. Can emotional damage be healed? Can you resolve the emotional pain inside a person's heart? The answer is yes. God can heal every emotional pain inside the heart. And in this session, I would like to explain to you how to actually do that so you can go home and actually pray to resolve the pain inside your heart that you've experienced. How does a person respond to being emotionally damaged? What happens inside when a person is emotionally damaged? First of all, one may hold bitterness toward the person who has hurt you. Often what happens is a believer is upset because someone has hurt them emotionally, or someone didn't give them what they wanted personally, emotionally, and as a result they become bitter toward that person. Probably 90% of the people coming into my office who are believers are bitter towards someone, and they don't know how to release that pain that they've experienced. It's amazing how many people carry bitterness toward people or circumstances or things that have happened in their life. Secondly, some people just get angry. I have a test that I give, and often a person's anger is at 90% or above, and they can't resolve that anger because of the pain inside and what they've experienced. They become angry at other people. Anger is always an indicator something's wrong inside. Something's happened where a heart has been damaged. And instead of saying to a person, why don't you stop being angry? I like to go to that person's heart and say, something happened, didn't it? Let's find the cause for your anger. And I'll lead you in a prayer to help you resolve that so you no longer have to be angry. It's interesting, anger can be held in, leading to depression. 100% of everyone hospitalized for depression, the cause is unresolved anger. Or anger can be vented. You can get angry at other people and destroy relationships. Thirdly, some people, when they're damaged emotionally shut down. They just stop talking. They stop responding in relationship. I remember one man who was a university professor. When he was a young boy, his father would dominate him with expectations and anger and would reject him. And emotionally, he mentally would block out that pain. Then he married a wife who was perfectionist, dominant, angry, and rejected him. And he didn't remember 95% of being around his wife for the first 23 years of their marriage until he came into my office. In fact, I have his testimony. If you'd like to see it, we might show it on Thursday during the training session. He was a university professor who emotionally blocked out all of his pain because of what happened to him as a child. And as a result, he emotionally would shut down to pressure, all because no one had ever helped him understand what his pain was and helped him resolve it. As soon as I led him in a prayer to disconnect his pain, and his wife began to care, he lost his problem, he lost his anger. Another type of person, whenever they're in pain, they will dominate another person. 90% of all women who are sexually abused will become 90% plus dominant, 90 plus percent angry, and 95% of them will get divorced. Why? If you take a girl and you sexually abuse her, let's say at 14, she will emotionally lock up inside. And she'll make a statement, no person is ever going to hurt me like that again. And she'll go from, let's say, a 20% dominant person to a 95% dominant person. Her anger will go from 0 to 95, and she will emotionally lock up. And it's not until someone helps them resolve that issue can they come to freedom from the pain that they're experiencing inside. That dominance and that anger is tied to the pain because they've been sexually abused. And with 40% of the women in our American culture being sexually abused, that's a huge problem. By the way, most Christian counselors say it takes 8 years to resolve sexual abuse and you'll never be free. That's a $40,000 bill if you're paying $80 an hour for counseling. That's a lot of money. If you come to our office, you'll lose 80% of your pain in one session. If a lady allows me to lead her in a prayer to disconnect the pain, it doesn't cost anything because we don't charge anything for counseling. It's free because we care about people and we want them to resolve their issues. Another person will socially pull away, and all of us know of people who stop talking, who just stay at home. They don't talk to anybody. Wives go to their bedroom for 3 days and never come out because there's so much pain inside and they can't talk with anybody. They stop going to church all because of the pain inside their heart. Another person will pull their heart away so it can't be hurt again and never allow anyone to connect with them because of the pain inside their heart. How does emotional pain affect relationship? Whenever a person is damaged, often they build walls in relationship and they can't give love and they can't receive love because there's a wall in a relationship. And they're fearful of opening their heart because if they open their heart, they're going to get hurt again. On the other hand, they're fearful of giving love for fear that someone's going to damage them again. Often when you have a child that's been damaged by the parents, what happens is that child builds a wall emotionally, not letting anyone in. Then they get married, and 90% of the time, they marry their worst parent. So if you have an angry father, you're going to marry an angry husband. If you have a critical mother, you're going to marry a critical wife. And so the pain that you experienced the first 18 years of your life, now you're going to experience every day for 60 years. Thanks a lot. Now the problem is a person will put up a wall to the area where they've been damaged and they will block that person. And I often ask a person, do you have a wall up with your spouse? And they look at me and say, what do you mean, a wall? Often they will say, yeah, I've got a wall. And then I go to the next question, what is the wall made of? One lady says, 12 inches of steel. So I ask another question, if there's 12 inches of steel between you and your husband, is there a door or a window? And she says, no way, he's never going to get me hurt again. One man says, 3 foot of concrete, 30 feet high. No one is ever going to hurt me again. Now it's interesting, whenever you resolve the emotional pain inside of a person's heart, those walls go away. And they only go away when we pray to resolve the pain inside of a person's heart. Now anyone that's been damaged emotionally will put up a wall. Now there's two kinds of pain people experience. The one pain is when someone does something to damage a person. Like someone is angry with them, someone is critical of them, someone has high expectations of them, someone is physically abusive or sexually abusive to them. But there's a second kind of pain, and that is if they should have received something they didn't, there's pain inside. So a child that's emotionally neglected is always going to feel lonely, unloved, and unwanted. So if a parent doesn't care for a child, that child is going to experience pain inside. So what we want to do is we want to take all the walls out of relationship so that a relationship is open where we're caring and understanding one another. One of the problems is when a person has too much pain, they become self-focused on their pain and they can't connect to care about another person. So you can have a husband focused on his pain, a wife focused on her pain, and they can't connect in a relationship. They can only see their own pain. When you have two depressed people living together, and often in any congregation you're going to have this, what happens is he only sees his problem, she only sees her problem, and they can't communicate and can't connect in a relationship. How does one find the emotional damage one has experienced? The only way you can find what's happening inside of a person is to focus on that person's heart and to ask questions directed to that person's heart. Questions like this: where is your heart? Where have you hidden your heart? Draw me a picture of your heart damaged. Did you ever give your heart to anyone? That's kind of an interesting question to ask your wife, because she might tell you tonight she never gave her heart to you as a husband. I've had many wives who never gave their heart to their husbands because their heart was too damaged. They couldn't do that. I'll never forget a girl was in my office. She and her husband were missionaries. And I asked her where her heart was, and she started crying. She says, "When I was 6 years of age, my parents died in a car accident. And I got up the next morning. I didn't know it happened. My relatives were all over the house." And she says, "I screamed for my mom, and she wasn't there. And nobody explained what happened to them." And she says, "I went into her bedroom, and for the first day in her life, the bed was made. It had never been made before. And she reached under the covers to reach for her mother, but she wasn't there. The bed was cold. And from age 6 to age 40, she had lost her heart, and she missed her mom." Now, her uncle and aunt took her in with her brother and raised them, but she never got over the pain and the loss of her parents because no one ever prayed with her, no one ever encouraged her, no one ever helped her through that pain issue. So she's 40 years of age, crying every day, wishing to be with her mother, and that pain never went away until she was in my office. And I led her in a prayer to disconnect the pain and the loss of her parents who were killed in a car accident. You see, when you focus on the heart of a person, you find something totally different than if you focus on the head of a person. If I ask any of you tonight, "How are you doing?" y'all will say, "Fine." That's an intellectual statement. A lot of you are going to go home tonight and say to your wife, "Do you have a wall up to me? Have you ever given your heart to somebody?" And your wife's going to give you an intellectual answer. "Yeah, I've given my heart to you. I got married to you. What do you mean?" But if you focus on that wife's heart and say, "Do you feel loved by me? 0 to 100, how much love do you get from me emotionally? Have I cared for you?" What happens in your heart? Do you have pain that I can care for? I want to say this: emotional intimacy in a marriage relationship can only take place when two people focus on each other's hearts and care. When two people focus on the heart of the other person they're married to, it throws a couple on a honeymoon and they experience a oneness they've never experienced before. 90% of the people coming into my office, and I just do marriages, are on a honeymoon after spending 15 hours in my office, where I help them understand the pain emotionally and the needs of the other person they're marrying to, and I show them how to resolve their spiritual emotional issues and how to care about their spouse's issues. Two people connect and you can't pull that marriage apart. By the way, it's the best thing for divorce there is, because no one's going to get divorced if they're emotionally feeling loved in a relationship. How do you identify the cause of a person's issues? I'd like to list. Sometimes people inherit problems. Sometimes you have a father that's angry and you have a son who's angry. Sometimes circumstances in life causes people to experience pain. Sometimes one or both parents have damaged a child with a result that child is struggling. Or a spouse has damaged their mate in the marriage, or one's siblings have damaged them. Sometimes churches damage people, or believers damage people, or other people in the community. It's interesting, when you go into the heart of a person, you begin to see what really happened inside. and how they were damaged, and you can begin to care. I'd like to encourage you to ask yourself this question tonight. Have I been damaged emotionally? Has someone damaged me through things that have occurred in my life? How did that affect my heart? Has it caused me to build walls and emotionally pull away in relationship? Or have I been open in relationship? We'd like to talk about 12 ways people are damaged emotionally. And I'm going to take this list, which is the same one you see on the screen in front of you. Your list has definitions and has scriptures for each one of those emotional pain issues. And we're going to define 5 of these and explain how do they damage a person and how can we resolve that by leading a person in a prayer to resolve those issues in their heart. The first problem that we'd like to talk about is abandonment. Abandonment means to leave, to forsake, to give away, to turn one's back on. A number of years ago, I had a lady in my office with her husband, and she was the 10th of 11 children. Her father was an angry person who was an alcoholic, abusive, into pornography, and he never connected with her at all. The mother, on the other hand, was tired of having children, and she didn't want any more children, and so she never connected with this 10th child in her family. To get attention, this girl had dated 10 guys, and guys wanted sex, so she gave the guys sex to try and get attention. Her dad focused on girls and gave other women attention, so she realized if she was going to get love, she would have to give guys what they wanted, so she gave them sex. She married the 11th boyfriend that she gave sex to, only to find out that he never connected or cared about her either. And he was immoral just like her father was. And she found out she couldn't love her children. She couldn't respond emotionally to her husband. Everything had been locked up inside. Here was a girl who had never been loved a day in her life. Her father was focused on other girls instead of his daughter and his 11 children. As a result, she had longed for the connection of other men. That's why she became immoral. Now, I want to say this to you. Girls that are not loved by their daddy and mommy in an emotional way have an intense need for love. In our culture, men want sex, with a result that often what happens is women or girls are willing to give anything just to get some attention. And the majority of the problem is in the fathers who have never connected to their daughters. And the same thing is true for fathers that are immoral and into pornography and lust, and we'll talk about this later in the week, often teach their sons that fulfillment comes in lust rather than emotional connection, with a result that you have children getting involved in lust and pornography when the problem is really the parents that have actually taught the children how to do that. This particular lady had never been loved a day in her life. So I walked her through a process to disconnect her pain by leading her to Jesus to resolve the issue of her father, to resolve the issue of her mother who had neglected her emotionally, and to resolve the issue of her husband who had emotionally stayed detached from her, with a result that she began to heal inside, and I showed the husband how to care about her. How is a person affected by abandonment? On the table in the foyer, you have a book called Birdie, Give Me Your Heart. It's a story of a girl who had alcoholic parents, and at 18 months, she was taken away from her parents because they didn't feed her and they weren't taking care of her because of their drinking problem. She was placed in five foster homes, and then later had 4 mothers in children's homes. So she had 9 mothers in her life up to age 18, not one person emotionally connected to her. She was neglected by all those individuals. When she came into my office, she began to tell her story. And she described what happened as a child in her life. Then she went to Bible college, met a guy who was emotionally detached, lived with him for 20 years, and wasn't loved by him either. As I began leading her in a prayer, she started crying. And the prayer went something like this: Jesus, I had alcoholic parents. And when I was hungry or wanted attention, I would cry, but nobody came to my crib. She cried for 20 minutes. She was supposed to repeat that after me. But there was so much pain, because that's what she'd experienced inside, she couldn't even say the words. So I helped her say the words and asked Jesus, Jesus, do you care about little girls who have nine mothers and not one connects with her? And she saw Jesus begin caring about that little girl's heart, and all of a sudden she started smiling. And for 8 hours I walked through the pain in her life, until finally the pain was gone inside of her heart. That's what I mean when I'm talking about abandonment. Now, when a person is abandoned, they will always fear trusting relationships, because if one person has pulled away from you, you're going to expect the next person to pull away from you. So if your father never connected to care, you're going to expect your husband not to care, and you're going to put a wall up and a barrier to trust relationships. Any threats will cause a reaction. For example, a person who's abandoned, if the husband says, I think we ought to call it quits and just get a divorce, that wife is going to go crazy inside, because he is threatening to leave, like the parent emotionally left her. Any experience close creates an intense reaction, and they emotionally long for that emotional connection which they didn't receive. I'm going to say something to you. Every person that God has created deserves to be loved. And God designed in a marriage a dad and a mom to love their children. But my guess is about 80 to 90% of children aren't loved. All you have to do is go back into one of these Sunday school rooms on a Sunday morning in Sunday school and start connecting to children, and you'll be amazed at how many of those children don't have anybody to love them, to understand them, to care about them. They're lonely. And they need attention, but no one's giving them attention. Their parents are too busy working. Their parents are involved in other things. Their parents don't care about their children, with a result that a child is left emotionally alone. What are the pain words associated with abandonment? You received a sheet of emotional pain words, which we're going to talk about at the end of this session. This sheet of emotional pain words is a list of all the different words people have experienced in their pain. You'll notice words like unloved, alone, deserted, lonely, unwanted, not cherished, are all words that come from a person that's been emotionally abandoned, where people have emotionally pulled away from them and not connected with them. An example is a lady that came to my office a number of years ago. She was a professional counselor. At the age of 4, her mother left because she didn't want to stay at home. And she was raised by an alcoholic father and was sexually abused from age 6 to 14. Her husband was emotionally detached, that she met at Bible college, and in pornography. And emotionally, she had been damaged through all of those experiences. Here's the prayer that I led her in. I'm leading her as a counselor. She's following me. Jesus, I felt so hurt when my mother abandoned the family when I was 4. Jesus, can you draw a picture of how my heart was damaged by my mother's absence? And then we let the Spirit of God prompt a picture of her heart there. Usually a person will begin to cry because they'll see the damage that that abandonment caused. What did that do to my heart? Have I forgiven my mother for leaving? Jesus, how would you heal my heart from the pain I felt? And again, we pause to let the Spirit of God prompt how He wants to heal that heart. Can you bring peace to my heart so I can open it to my mom and also to my husband? What do you want me to do when I feel abandoned or hurt in this way with my husband or someone else? and I walk a person through every area of their pain and let Jesus prompt healing to the heart of the person. Now I'm going to say this to you. I've never healed anybody. I've never brought peace to anybody's heart. As a pastor, as a counselor, I can't heal a person's heart. Only Jesus can heal a person's heart. And what we need to learn and understand, and this is what I'm trusting you'll understand this week, you and I as believers need to lead people to Jesus to heal the heart, the pain that's inside their heart as a result of the issues they've experienced. In this particular book, there's a chapter on abandonment, and there's this prayer in this book that you can use to actually, a sample prayer that you can use to actually resolve the pain that a person has experienced in their heart. Here's the chapter on abandonment, and right here's the prayer that I just gave you. Now, the prayer on emotional issues have to be directed and focused on the person's pain. And everybody's pain is going to be a little bit different. One person's abandonment pain may just be the father neglected the child. Another, the wife, the mother may have neglected the child. In this case, a mother left the home at the age of 4 when the daughter was 4. The father was an alcoholic, self-focused, unsympathetic to the daughter. And she basically, from age 4 on, had nobody to actually care for her heart. What I've found through the years is if a person is to be healed from emotional pain, there are two steps. The first step is we need to lead them to Jesus for Jesus to heal that heart. And when a person is led to Jesus, they will lose 80% of their pain. So you can have a person who's angry at 90% because they've been abandoned. You lead them in a prayer and all of a sudden they lose their anger because of that. Secondly, you want to get a spouse to begin caring about that pain. So in my office, I take a husband in this particular example. I had a husband look at his wife and say, what if I began caring about a little 4-year-old girl who wasn't loved or cared for? What if I started caring for her? I don't want you to ever feel abandoned again. I want you to feel safe that I will never pull away or damage you like your mother did. I would like for you to feel secure with me. And each day, I had the husband begin caring about his wife's heart. What happened is it flipped him on a honeymoon because she began to feel the emotional connection she'd never experienced before. God heals a brokenhearted person. He can heal that pain inside of a heart. Secondly, we want a person to begin caring about that emotional pain that that person has experienced. There are some neat Bible verses that I love. I will not leave you comfortless. I will never leave you or forsake you. I am with you always, casting all your care upon Him. And the literal Greek there says, for it matters to God about you. God cares about your emotional pain of abandonment, and He wants to heal that pain inside your heart. There's a second of these emotional issues that we would like to focus on, and the second is neglect. Neglect means to be inattentive, having nothing to do with, not care for, pay no attention to fail to attend responsibilities, not wanted, forgotten. There are two ways people are neglected. One is emotionally and the other one is physically. If you neglect a child emotionally, that child is going to be damaged. If you don't talk to a child, you don't affirm a child, you don't value a child, that child is going to be damaged. Now, we just came from an Amish Mennonite community in Ohio. And in Amish Mennonite communities, you're never allowed to praise your children lest they become prideful. But the problem is 80% of that culture is depressed because parents never affirm their children in that culture. And the interesting thing is, if you don't talk to a child, that child becomes emotionally damaged inside. I'll never forget, a couple from Minnesota came into my office and he was depressed at 99%. And I went to find out what happened. And he said, I played with my trucks in the corner and no one talked to me all day. He said, when we ate breakfast, no one even noticed that I was there in my family. No one talked to me. The problem of his depression was caused by being neglected emotionally. I had another guy who came in and says, my mother put me on a dog leash in the back of the house, and she would close the sliding doors, and I stayed out there for 8 hours by myself on this dog leash. Emotional neglect. Now, parents that are busy, and in our culture, with parents having to work and all of the pressures, a lot of times what happens is we neglect our children, and emotionally it causes pain. But there's a second, and that's physical neglect. We just had a friend of the ministries adopt a child from India. And that child was raised in a home where there was no food. So at night, the child would get up and go to the refrigerator and eat everything out of the refrigerator that was there. And the next morning, the mother would get up and say, who's in my refrigerator? Why is all this food all over the floor? That little girl was scared to death in the middle of the night that there wouldn't be food in the morning because that's the way she was raised. And in her fear, without thinking, she just went to the refrigerator and ate everything that was in the refrigerator. Why? Because of the emotional neglect. I had a dentist who came into my office, and as soon as the plane landed in Colorado Springs, he said to his wife, we've got to go to the grocery store and buy groceries. So they bought 18 sacks of groceries for that week. Now, we have 425 restaurants in Colorado Springs. So it's not like you're going to go hungry if you come to Colorado Springs. His wife didn't know why he wanted to buy all that food. So they lugged it all into their motel room. When he came into my office, I asked him about his pain, about his heart, and he told me a story. He said, when I was a little boy, my parents couldn't take care of us five children, so they put us in a children's home. And he says, I was the runt of the children's home. When they put food on the table, everybody'd run for the table and eat. He says, there wasn't anything there when I got there. So he's 45 years of age, making $250,000 a year as a dentist. And he's still struggling, scared to death he's not going to have food to eat. He built his wife a $500,000 home. So that had plenty of money. But that emotional neglect pain, that physical neglect, had carried with him for 40 years. Now I share that because people's pain always has a cause, and you want to find what is that cause. And I helped that gentleman to understand what his pain was emotionally through physical neglect and helped him work through those issues. How does neglect affect a person? If you've been neglected physically or emotionally, every time you get close to being neglected again, you're going to react. And you're going to have difficulty trusting other people. Here are some pain words associated with emotional neglect. Avoided, excluded, left out. Person that's not talked to is going to feel that pain. What is a prayer to resolve the pain of neglect? Jesus, I was neglected as a child by my parents and siblings. I felt so alone, uncared for, and excluded. Jesus, what did that do to my heart? Can you draw me a picture of my heart damaged? Could you heal my heart? How would you do that? Jesus, could you give me a Bible story of how you're different from those who neglected me? Can you bring peace to my heart? And here are words to resolve the pain of neglect. Can I care about a boy that's always felt neglected emotionally? What if I sought to understand how it felt for you to be neglected and began to care for that emotional need? There was a little girl who was neglected by both of her parents. Can I find her heart and make sure she feels loved and gets her emotional needs met? You must feel lonely having been neglected. Can I care about that pain? That's a second. The third is emotional detachment. After the break, we're going to have you have a couple share a testimony where a husband emotionally was detached from his wife for 32 years and how that affected her emotionally, and that's this particular area. What I've found is a person who has been damaged by emotionally detached parents or emotionally detached spouses is they don't get love. They don't get an emotional connection, and emotionally they react. Emotional detachment means to be uncared for, unloved, not involved or concerned for another, indifferent, not capable of giving love. It's amazing, 1 out of 8 men coming into my office has no ability to love. Now that's not Texas average. That's the average of people coming into my office. I don't know if Texas is above that or below that. When I was in Indianapolis, 80% of the men in 2 churches were emotionally detached. They were engineers, very capable individuals, but they couldn't emotionally connect. And I defined the problem, and I defined it as emotionally detached. When a person's detached, they feel unloved, uncared for. They constantly long for affection. They usually cry inside, but they hide their heart so it won't be hurt again, and they fear sharing their heart with others for fear of being hurt again, and they often close their heart. If love is not received, a person will seek love elsewhere. It's amazing, if a child isn't loved by her father, she will connect to her mother. If the mother doesn't connect, she will try and connect with the grandparents. If the grandparents don't connect, she will often connect to an animal. And I've had about 6 individuals who are emotionally connected to dogs, to cats, to birds, to horses. It's amazing. One lady came into my office and she said, when I was a little girl, 4 years of age, my mom went to work. She was so overwhelmed with work, she would come home at 5 o'clock and go to bed. So she says, I became a mother. I had to clean the house, I had to wash the dishes, I had to fix the meals for my dad and the rest of the family. And she said, my mother was never there after that. But they gave me a little puppy. It was a little black one about this tall, and she says, I bonded to that little puppy. I had a dog all the way through my childhood till I went to college. I wasn't allowed to take a dog. As soon as I got out of college, I got married, and I forced my husband to get me a dog. And then she says, one day my husband was mad at my dog, and he shot my dog through the stomach, and that's the last time he ever got my heart. But she says, I'm not married to my dog. And I said, ask your husband if he's jealous when you talk to your dog. And he started crying. He cried inside every time she would spend 2 hours a day talking with her dog. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a dog or a cat or a horse. But it's amazing how many people are emotionally connected. I was in Wyoming for a conference like this, and every girl was connected to her horse, and every guy was connected to her horse in ranch country in Wyoming. In Hutchinson, Kansas, there was a couple, they were both connected to the same horse. Every time they had a fight, he would go out the back door, she'd go out the front door, and they'd go for the same horse, and whoever got there first got the horse, and the other one pouted until the other one left, and they could get the horse back, because the only comfort they had was in their horse. Okay? Because they weren't loving each other, didn't know how to love each other, they were emotionally detached. If a daughter is not loved by her father, she will seek to get attention from other men. If a child is not loved, she or he may seek fulfillment in lust, pornography, defrauding, premarital sex, or homosexuality to fulfill their emotional need for love. Now, as we get into the week, I'm going to be talking about sexual deviant sins. You know what I've found? Every person that's involved homosexually or in pornography has an emotional need not met and they connect that emotional need to that sexual activity, usually because of exposure to the sexual activity, and every time they're lonely, they go back to their homosexual activity or to their pornography. And as soon as you resolve the emotional pain and have them repent of the moral issue in their life, they lose interest in that addiction. I'm going to share that later in the week. I'm really excited because in doing that process, I've actually helped people get totally free from addictions that they've carried for 20, 30 years. What are some words to describe the pain of not being loved? Abandoned, alone, avoided, deserted, forsaken, ignored, left out, lonely, neglected, not cared for, not cherished, not noticed, unwanted. The prayer, I'm just going to not read this because I don't want to bore you with reading prayers, but there's a prayer in the book to resolve the pain of emotional detachment. And here are words to describe the pain. In a marriage relationship, I always want to know, can a husband emotionally care about his wife? Can a wife take that pain in? Or can a wife take love in? Can a wife emotionally care about her husband's heart? And can the husband take it in? There are four questions I ask. Because often what happens is a husband is emotionally detached. He has no capacity to love his wife. If he could love his wife, she could take it in, but he can't love her. That means one arrow's missing, broken. On the other hand, often what happens is you have a wife who has been locked emotionally, you have a husband who's damaged emotionally, they can't love each other, neither can they respond to love. You have four issues that have to be resolved, and you have to go and look for the emotional damage that has occurred that's locked their hearts from each other. The fourth issue is rejection. To reject a person means to not want them, to discard them, to refuse them, to not care. Often what happens with a person who's been rejected is that person has emotional pain and they withdraw from others, they focus on themselves and their pain and they have negative thoughts. Nobody wants me, nobody cares. They feel sorry for themselves and they focus on their pain and can't care about others. They hold anger in, they lose their joy, they complain and they withdraw from others. What are the consequences of feeling rejected? A person who's feeling rejected focuses on themselves. They can only see their pain. They don't notice anybody else. So if you have a wife who's depressed, she's so focused on her pain, she can't respond to her husband. She can't care about her children because she's focused on her pain. A lady came into my office a number of years ago. She was conceived out of wedlock by rebellious parents. Both parents wanted to get married and they didn't want to do what their parents said, so they got pregnant. All four grandparents wanted abortion. The father took the girlfriend into the hospital for the abortion, but when they got in there, he says, "I can't do this." And he took the hand of his girlfriend and walked out, and the girl had the baby, and later they got married. 4 years into the marriage, the parents divorced. So you have a girl that was not wanted and rejected at birth. Secondly, and by the way, a child will feel that. Secondly, the father leaves at age four and rejects the girl, never comes back. Then you have a stepfather coming in, sexually abusing her and emotionally damaging her with his anger, and a mother who is so depressed she can't function and doesn't give the child love. This was a pastor's wife who came in after having eight children and emotionally being depressed for 20 years. Here's the prayer. I let her in. "Jesus, I was rejected by all four of my grandparents who wanted me dead. My mother didn't know how to love me, and both of my parents were rebellious. Jesus, I felt so unwanted, unaccepted, and lonely. Jesus, could you draw me a picture of what my heart looked like having been rejected? How would you heal that pain? Can you bring peace to my heart? Can you make a safe place where I can go and feel accepted and valued. And here's some statements I gave to her husband. I don't want you to feel rejected by me. I want to feel you to feel accepted and understood by me. How can I care for you and meet the needs for acceptance? How can I care about the pain you've received from those who've rejected you? Will you forgive me for the way your grandparents and your parents neglected to meet your emotional needs? The last emotional pain one is the one at the bottom of the list, drained emotionally, if you'll drop down to that one. It's a little different kind of a pain issue, but to be drained emotionally is a child who had a parent who was depressed and self-focused on their pain. Often I have people in my office who say, I just called my mother and I just can't stand being on the phone with my mother. She just emotionally is so depressed and in so much pain. She just wants me to listen and listen and listen, and I just get tired of listening to all her problems and pain. I've had numerous guys say that about their mother. I've had women say, when I talk to my mother or my dad, I just get depressed. I struggle inside. To be drained emotionally means to need another to meet one's emotional pain needs, to feel empty after meeting the emotional needs because they drain you, to be frustrated in meeting another's emotional pain because they're so self-focused on their pain. What are some ways a child becomes emotionally drained? A mother is emotionally struggling, depends on one of her children to care for her emotional needs because the husband is not caring. Or a wife feels rejected and is not loved by her husband and emotionally connects to one or more of her children to get her emotional needs met. Why does a child react to being drained? A child is not capable of emotionally meeting his or her parents' emotional needs. God designed for the parents to care for the children, not for the children to care for the parents. And often what happens is when a husband and wife are not caring about each other, the wife feels lonely, so she goes to the children to meet her emotional needs for love. In fact, I think there are probably more mothers that are connected to their children than are connected to their husbands in our culture. Because husbands don't connect. They're busy working. They don't take the time for their wives. Husbands are so focused on other things they're doing, and they don't connect to meeting their wife's emotional need for love. How do you resolve being drained emotionally? Here's the prayer. Jesus, I felt so frustrated when my mother kept asking questions she should have asked my father regarding their problems. Mom would come to me crying, trying to get me to understand her frustration. I got so tired of listening to her problems. Jesus, what did that do to my heart? How does that affect my relationship and responding to my wife when she's hurting and needs me to be sympathetic? I want to be open to allowing my wife to share when she needs to open up to me. How would you heal my heart so I can open it to my wife? Can you bring peace to my heart? How could I emotionally open my heart? I'd like to go to this particular chart which you have in front of you. I shared this morning that every person has a core emotional need, and every person has a core emotional pain issue. I would like for you tonight, or between tonight and tomorrow evening, to take this sheet, and I want you to put a 0 to 10 in front of every word. 0 means no pain. 1 to 10 means pain. 10 is the highest pain. So if I say abandoned, which is something we've talked about tonight, and you say, I've never been abandoned, you put a 0 there. If, on the other hand, I say accused, you say, yeah, I grew up in a home where my father was always yelling at me, always criticizing me, putting me down. That's the worst pain I ever had. You're going to put a 10 there. The next one is afraid. You might say, well, that's probably a 2. I don't feel afraid very often. Alone, you say, no one in my family ever connected with me. That's a 10. Now, when you get to the end of doing this little assignment, I want you to give it to your spouse. Or if you're a child, give it to your mother. This little diagram if understood, will show you what that emotional pain is in that person's heart. Because if they have high numbers by accused, blamed, put down, rejected, someone damaged them through that. If they have high numbers by pressure to perform, can't measure up, you have a perfectionist parent, which we'll talk about tomorrow night. If you have high numbers by control, dominated, someone has controlled them and they're emotionally reacting against that. If they have high numbers by unloved, unwanted, uncared for, someone never connected with them. In a matter of 3 minutes, you can find out where a person's emotional pain is by using this little chart. I was in a seminar in Colorado in a small church like this. It was a Baptist church. And a young man came up to me and he says, "I don't understand this sheet." But he had filled out all the words, put numbers in front of them. And I looked at the sheet and I said, "You had a perfectionist parent, didn't you? You had a dominant parent. And they criticized you. And you didn't feel loved." He says, "How did you know all those things?" I said, "You put 8, 9s, and 10s by each of those words on this sheet." He says, "You just described my life and my pain." I'd like for every husband who has a wife here to take his wife's sheet and start studying it and ask her 2 questions. First question is, how were you damaged as a child? And how have I damaged you to emotionally create these high numbers on this sheet? Will you forgive me? Can I start caring about the pain you've experienced? If you have a wife who is emotionally neglected, would you choose to begin caring for that emotional need every day for the next 60 years? If, on the other hand, you have a husband who had a perfectionist father, and the father was angry and criticized him because he didn't do everything right, as a wife, would you begin just caring about that person's need? Now, if you're struggling with something in this book that I just showed you, are some 40 prayers that relate to 40 different issues that people struggle with. Now, we didn't define them all tonight. We defined a few of them just to give you a sample of people's issues. I don't want to bore you with any more of them. But the interesting thing is you can take anybody's problems and there's a prayer. Here's a prayer for someone who's disowned. Here's a prayer for the person that was neglected emotionally. Why are we doing this? Because I believe the Church of Jesus Christ needs to be caring about the emotional pain people struggle with. And we need to lead people to Jesus to get healing in their hearts. Every person has a core emotional need. And I would encourage you to ask your spouse, what is that need? My wife's need is for attention. She never got it as a child. Her deepest pain was her parents, especially her mother, paid more attention to 4 brothers than to her. And then I married her and got busy and didn't focus to meet that need for 30 years. I didn't understand it. When I started understanding it, it flipped us on a honeymoon and an emotional connection we never experienced before. Secondly, I'd like for you to find what your spouse's core emotional pain issue is, what the area of emotional damage was, and I want you to lead them in a prayer to resolve that and assist them in coming to freedom by caring about that pain. After the break, we're going to focus on bitterness, which is the second chapter in this book, and we won't have a handout for that, but if you're interested in the charts that we're going to be defining, I'd like to encourage you at the break to pick up this book, which deals with 7 spiritual issues that believers need to resolve, and it's available at the table if you're interested in it. I'll turn it back to Pastor.